and get back into our study of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And we have come a long way in our study that we began at the very beginning of this year, and now we come to chapter 5, and we've been in different Gospels trying to study chronologically the best we can, but we've been studying right here in chapter 5, the fifth chapter of John, for a little while. And this evening we're going to learn about the will and the witness of Jesus Christ. If you're able, let's stand together, and we'll find our text in John 5, beginning at verse 30. Jesus says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the will and the witness of our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to learn about those things tonight, that it would help us to know you better, to love you more, and to serve you more faithfully. Lord, please bless. We're so thankful for the year that you've given us. Thank you for Jesus and for all that you are and all that you've done for us. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in the future. Lord, tonight, just please speak to our hearts and help us to just be completely surrendered to your will. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The will and the witness of Jesus Christ. Now, we know a little bit about Jesus' will. He's been talking about it as he gives answer to those Jews who had a problem with him healing on the Sabbath day. And they had a problem with him making the claim that he is equal with God, which of course he is because he is God. But we are seeing his answer to them. And in the midst of it, he talks a little bit about his will and his witness. And so let's learn about that. If you're taking notes, you can write down number one, the will of the Father. The will of the Father. And in thinking about the will of Jesus Christ, he was always completely surrendered to the will of his Father. And I like what F.B. Meyer had to say about it. He said, "The one desire and purpose of our Lord was to do God's will. We cannot penetrate the mystery of his ineffable or his indescribable being, but clearly, so far as his human nature was concerned, he had a will which could be denied and subordinated to the Father's." In other words, we can't understand the character of Jesus Christ completely, but his one purpose, his one desire was driven to do the will of God the Father. And he would subordinate his will to the Father. In John 6:38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Meyer goes on to say it meant shame, a breaking heart, a soul exceeding sorrowful, the cry of the forsaken, but he never swerved. He clung to it as a handrail down the steep, dark staircase that led to Calvary. Let us live according to God's will. Listen, giving up his own will to do the will of the Father was heartbreak for Jesus. It meant sorrow for Jesus. It meant suffering and shame for Jesus, but he held on to it all the way to Calvary. And listen, doing the will of the Father may not always mean things are going to go great for you. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and life's going to be a bed of roses. But the will of God for your life is the very best place you could possibly be. Right. It's the place that you can only find real joy and the place that you could find real satisfaction with your life. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And when we will give our will over to the will of God, we still have a work to do. We still have a job to do. We still have toil and labor, but we can find rest and peace in our hearts when we do the will of Jesus Christ. It's the only place that we can find real assurance and real knowledge in our lives. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And when we surrender to the will of God, it changes our lives. The will of the Father. We need to be completely surrendered to his will. In Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, some people today think, if I just knew what God's will was, if I knew what his end game was, if I knew what his plan and purpose was in my life was, then I could surrender to it and then it would be okay. But I'm just here to tell you that knowing what the end result's going to be, knowing what you're going to have to go through to do the Father's will, probably really wouldn't help you and me any. Amen. Imagine if you were Jesus. Imagine if you were in his place and you knew about the suffering and you knew about the shame. If you knew at that night in the garden when he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus wasn't just praying that, not knowing what might happen if he surrendered to the Father's will. He knew everything that was going to happen. He knew every piece of derision that would come. He knew every reviling thing that would be said. He knew every strike that would come across his face. He knew every scourge of that whip that would come. He knew every pain that would come, every sorrow that would come. He knew all of it, and yet he still surrendered to the Father's will. Listen, there's a gospel in America today that says if you'll just pray this prayer, everything in your life will be perfect, and it's just simply not found in the Bible. Men and women who were faithful to God in the Bible suffered at the hands of wicked and cruel people. Amen. They suffered in a world that hates our Savior Jesus Christ. And listen, you're going to have trouble and trial in this world if you surrender to his will, but I promise you, there is no better place for you to be. And there's nobody in heaven today who suffered for the cause of Christ that would come down and testify to you, you know, it's not worth it. They would never say that today. They rejoice in heaven because it's worth it. Be completely surrendered to the will of God. The problem with me is I want to be partially surrendered to the will of God. In my flesh, I want to give him some, but I don't want to give him all. I'm okay with giving up a lot of stuff because I don't really care about that stuff or want that stuff anymore. I'm okay with giving up a lot of sins because I don't have a desire for those sins. That's easy. But there's some things in my life that aren't easy. There's some temptations that are difficult. There's some things in our lives that we don't want to give up. And God says, I want you to give it all. We need to be completely surrendered to his will. That we'll do whatever he wants us to do. And we won't do whatever he calls us to not do. Completely surrendered to his will. And faithfully seek his will. Faithfully seek his will. In our text, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You know, we've got our own will, we've got our own desire, we've got our own driving force in our life, but Jesus said, I'm not here to do what I want to do, I'm here to do what God wants me to do, my Father. In Romans chapter 12, we read in verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we going to prove? How are we going to demonstrate with our lives what the perfect will of God is? We're going to do that by giving our lives a living sacrifice, by seeking daily his will and not our own will. Whose will are you concerned about today? Are you just concerned about doing what you want to do? Are you concerned about doing what God wants you to do? The will of the Father. Number two, let's talk about the witness of the Son. The witness of the Son. In verse 31, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He says, if I just come in here and tell you who I am, that doesn't mean anything. Under the law, everything had to be established by two or three witnesses. You couldn't just come in and if there was something going on, let's say we would think of it kind of in a legal sense, if there was a kind of like a court case, if I just come in and testify, you're not just going to take my word for it. I need some witnesses to back up what I'm saying. And that's what Jesus was saying. If I come in and I just testify myself, that doesn't mean anything. I need some other witnesses. But Jesus had other witnesses. Our testimony is valuable. And it's important that we have witnesses. I want you to just think about this for a second. What Jesus is saying is, I don't necessarily right now want you to take my word for it. I want you to consider these other witnesses to establish the truth of what I'm telling you about myself. But just think about this for a second. What kind of witness do you have? In just the court of life, you know, I like to think that I'm a pretty good person. I'd like to think that I could get two or three other people to say the same thing about me. But when it really comes down to it, I wonder. I wonder when everything in my life all together is judged before God, I wonder what the witnesses will say then. Think about it for a second. If you were on trial just for the whole of your life about who you are and what your character is, what would the witnesses have to say? They had to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, if I could get somebody to say the truth, just about some of the truth, I'd be okay. It's that whole truth that gets you messed up. But I want you to get this. When the witnesses stepped forward to testify of Jesus, he was found to be perfect. He was found to be holy. He was found to be exactly who he said he was. Listen to the witnesses. First of all, he says, I got the witness of John. In verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Listen, Jesus is saying, Listen, there is another witness, and he bare witness of me. His purpose was to come and prepare the way for me. As a matter of fact, you saw what God was doing through John's life, and you sent unto him. You called for him, and you called him to say, are you the Christ? But you remember the testimony that John gave. He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm come to prepare the way for Christ. And his testimony was true. John chapter 1, verse 29 to 36. John 1, 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Did you get it? I saw it, and I bear record. This is the Son of God. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Listen, John was the witness to Jesus. He was the one that gave testimony. He said, listen, I saw and everything happened just like God said it would. God sent me to baptize with water and I went. And God said, when I baptize one and I see the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining on him, that's him. And that's exactly what happened. And this Jesus, he is the Son of God. And this Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. Listen to the witness of John. Jesus is telling these Jews, he says, listen, you called for John. He gave his testimony. you know that God was sent. You know that John was sent from God. You know that the power of God was on him. You know that he had the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, and you still didn't believe his testimony, the witness of John. Notice also the witness of the works, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. Jesus said in verse 35, in verse 34, I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Jesus is saying, listen, I don't need the testimony of a man, but I want you to be saved, so listen to what John said. But then he says, I've got a greater witness. In verse 36, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus said, you didn't believe John, but you can at least believe for the very work's sake. You remember, that's what got Nicodemus, wasn't it? When Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, he said, no man could do the things that you do except he was sent from God. He believed because of the works that Jesus came to do, works that were prophesied of. In Isaiah